Proverbs 27:23 tells us, know well the condition of your flocks and give attention to your herds. I am Rob West. Our herds and flocks these days are our finances, including our investments. Do you know the condition of yours? I'll talk today with Cassie Lehman about a way to ensure your investments honor the Lord. And it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is MoneyWise on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, we're delighted that Cassie Lehman joins us today for the first time. She's president of Lightpoint Portfolios and underwriter of this program. She's also a certified financial planner and a certified kingdom advisor. And Cassie, it's great to have you with us.
Thanks so much, Rob. It's great to be here.
Cassie, we talk a lot about faith-based investing here on this program, and you have a unique way for folks to honor God with their investments. We'll get to that, but first, I'd like to start with you. Will you tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do?
Sure. Well, as you mentioned, I'm the president of Lightpoint Portfolios, and our firm was founded in 1997 by our CEO and also happens to be my husband, Rick Lehman. Yep. And he was really an early adopter of faith-based investing. So we had this firm to serve our clients, but then in 2010, he created our Lightpoint Portfolios to fill this need for fully diversified, actively managed faith-based portfolios. And as you know, Rob, as an independent advisor, an individual advisor, sometimes it's hard to have the time and the resources to build faith-based portfolios. So our portfolios are now available to independent financial advisors to make it easier for them to serve their clients. And just as a fun piece of information, Rick was in the first graduating class of certified kingdom advisors alongside you, Rob.
That's exactly right. And I've known Rick and you, Cassie, now for a long time. Well, I love that. I want to take it a step further because I know you have an interesting story about how you personally got into faith-based investing. And you even wrote a book about your journey. Share that with us.
Sure. Well, in 2010, I was an independent advisor, and I met Rick Lehman at an industry conference, and he shared with me about his passion for faith-based investing. And to be quite honest with you, I was pretty skeptical about it. I grew up in the church, but I had been away from the church for about 20 years. And so when he's talking to me about biblically responsible investing, I was like, I just don't know. I don't understand it. I want to know more. So he really encouraged me to learn more, and he gave me little assignments. He would have me talk to others in our industry, and part of my assignments was getting the Certified Kingdom Advisor designation. And you might think that's a pretty big leap, right? I'm going from a skeptic to pursuing the CKA, but I really wanted to know the truth.
Sure.
And you know, part of this learning led me back to reading the Bible, returning to church, and ultimately recommitting my life to Christ. And in the end, I married Rick. We called it our marriage an acquisition. And because of what I learned, I really shifted my investing philosophy to invest this way because I believe that's what really glorifies God. And then in 2015, I was at a conference and the speaker, you know, was speaking to everyone and said, you know, your life has changed because of Jesus and you should tell people about that. And he was speaking to everyone, but I really felt like he was speaking to me. Hmm. And it was at that time that I decided I would write out my testimony and how we think about faith-based investing. And that became my book, which is called I Found Jesus in the Stock Market.
I love it. And that's obviously the most significant thing that came out of this. But obviously, you ended up marrying Rick in the process, which just adds to the fun color to the story here. All right, we've got just a few seconds left. But Cassie, when we come back, we're going to talk about how at Lightpoint Portfolios, you all really started working with company and church retirement plans, as well as some specific advice for those listening today who are employees about how they can make sure they're doing what they need to do to prepare for retirement, and for business owners, how they can help their employees as well. Cassie Lehman joins us today. Cassie is president of LightPoint Portfolios, and we're talking about faith-based investing. Following this interview, your questions today at 800-525-7000. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
On American Family Radio, hi, I'm Barry McGuire. I'm a layman here to remind you that faith sharing is a barometer for your spiritual health. You know, people often tell me their opening line for sharing their faith, like, if you were to die today, do you know for sure that you'd go to heaven? Which immediately tells me they rarely share their faith, or they're merely repeating what they've been told to say. Frankly, most Christians have been told how to share their faith incorrectly and then repeat to others without ever doing it themselves. Faith sharing is not a one-size-fits-all presentation. You have no idea where the next conversation is going to take you, or how absurd it is to think that a rehearsed script is going to be a perfect fit for that person. It doesn't work that way. That's why Mark 13:11 tells us to not prepare in advance, and Luke 12:12 explains how the Holy Spirit will give you the word to say when you need them. Often with words you know came from Him. That's when you have intimacy with God and your life is ignited. If you need help sharing your faith, go to igniteamerica.com.
Thank you from the bottom of my heart. I couldn't have had the procedure I needed without CHM's help sharing the bills. That letter from a member displays Christian Healthcare Ministry's purpose to glorify God and serve His people. CHM is the original non-insurance voluntary health cost sharing ministry, enabling its members to share the cost of each other's medical bills. Call 800-791-6225 or visit chministries.org.
Hello, I'm Don Hawkins, here to tell you about Encouragement Live, 55 minutes of industrial strength radio encouragement featuring resourceful guests, plus practical biblical insights to help you face life's challenges. We'll be taking your phone calls, so plan to join us for Encouragement Live, Saturdays at 7:05 p.m. Central, 8:05 p.m. Eastern, here on American Family Radio.
When it comes to caring for your family, there's one critically important thing many people fail to do before the Lord calls them home. That one thing is to set your house in order. Organize important documents and account information for your loved ones. Create a will and more. If it sounds intimidating, don't worry. The 5-week Set Your House in Order study makes it easy with step-by-step instructions. And you can request your copy with your gift of $25 or more at moneywise.org/house.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Great to have you with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. We're talking today with Cassie Lehman. Cassie is president of LightPoint Portfolios, an underwriter of this program, and we're specifically talking about faith-based investing. Cassie, just before the break, you were telling us your story that resulted in you writing a book, really about how you came to Christ through this journey in exploring faith-based investing. Now you lead LightPoint Portfolios, and you all specifically work with companies and church retirement plans. What led you in that direction?
Well, Rob, because most Americans have a bulk of their retirement savings in an employer-sponsored plan, Rick had recognized for many years that there was a need for a 401k and a 403b platform that would provide Christian companies and churches and their employees the opportunity to align those retirement assets with their deeply held faith values. And it really didn't exist in the marketplace at that time. So we felt led to create it. And that's really helped us to merge two of our passions, helping people invest for retirement and beyond, and doing it with faith-based investments. So the Kingdom K and the Kingdom B are our way of making that possible for as many Christians as possible. Mm. One of the benefits of our approach is that we put our faith-based portfolios into the plan to help participants who don't know how to construct their own portfolios. So we don't just add a couple of funds into the plan and leave it to the employees to figure it out. We really help them out by putting the whole portfolios in there. And, you know, one other thing I will share that we find many Christian business owners, nonprofits, and churches are unknowingly investing in business practices that oppose their faith values. And now we have a solution that balances fiduciary responsibility with biblical values.
Yeah, that's really helpful because we hear from so many listeners, Cassie, who find themselves in a position where they're in a retirement plan. They obviously have limited choices available to them provided by their plan, but they're frustrated because they want to use faith-based investments and they don't have those available. Obviously, this solves for that. Well, I want to talk about both the participant side and the business owner side. Let's start with participants. What advice do you give them about saving in their retirement plan?
Well, first and foremost, if you have a plan, you should participate in it.
Yeah.
You know, people often think, I'll start contributing when I have more money. But our human nature is to feel like we never have enough. And by waiting, we lose the benefit of saving early and taking advantage of compound interest. And if you're not familiar with compound interest, it basically means that over time, you're gaining interest on both your savings and on any interest you made previously. So you want to take advantage of that. Also, many companies provide a matching contribution, meaning that if you contribute to the plan, they will also contribute money up to a certain amount. So, for example, if your employer offers a 5% match, it means they'll contribute the same amount to your account that you contribute up to 5% of your salary. Now, you can probably contribute more, but only the first 5% will be matched. So in this case, your employer is offering you additional compensation and incentivizing you to save for retirement. So if you're not contributing to your 401k, you are really leaving that money on the table.
Yeah, and now more than ever, especially with the market down, for you to stay consistent in your contributions so you can dollar cost average in. All right, what about a business owner, Cassie, in terms of helping their employees save for the future?
Well, I like to say that employers are the key to helping employees. Surveys show that a retirement plan is the second most desired benefit after health insurance, and there's also a significant tax benefit for business owners to save for their own retirement. So we can look at plan design to help both the employees and the employer. Now, here are two areas where I think there are some opportunities for business owners or churches that have a retirement plan. First of all, many of the people who oversee retirement plans, they're called plan sponsors, they don't realize it's a best practice to benchmark their plan every 3 years. And that includes doing a fee analysis, which is really their fiduciary responsibility to their employees. So one of the things we offer is a complimentary objective analysis of your current plan to see where there might be some opportunities for improvement, and also to let you know about the fees that you're paying. It's really unclear for many participants and owners about their fees they're paying because it's hidden, and we help to educate them and see what the real costs of their plan are. The second thing is that we believe that every follower of Christ should at the very least be presented with the opportunity to invest their resources in a manner that's in alignment with and honors their faith values. So we found that many business owners believe that they're not able to use faith-based strategies in their retirement plan, when in fact there's no restriction against that. Plan fiduciaries can offer faith-based investments when other investment alternatives are also made available to participants, so long as the faith-based options are prudent selections. So, you know, one of the other things we really do is we take on the fiduciary responsibility of selecting and reviewing the investments that would otherwise fall to the business owner or to the pastor. And that really helps them out because that might not be their area of expertise.
Sure. Now, I mentioned that listener who wants to invest in faith-based funds, but they just simply aren't available in their retirement plan. Do you have any advice for them?
I do. There are a few options here. And the first thing is, I would suggest that they talk to human resources about the possibility of adding some faith-based funds into the investment lineup. It may not be as good as having access to, you know, full faith-based portfolios, but it is a good start. So that's one option. Now, some plans also have something called a self-directed brokerage window. And what that means is they will let you take some of your funds out of the plan and either invest them on your own or with the help of your financial advisor. So in that case, you would have the option to invest in some faith-based funds. Another option would be to contribute enough to the plan to maximize the company match. And then you could contribute other funds to an IRA that, you know, and incorporate some faith-based funds there. And lastly, if you are a member of a faith-based organization, you could request that they look at the Kingdom K platform. And as I mentioned, we help organizations improve their plans in a number of different areas, including the fund lineup and the fees.
Yeah, that's really helpful. We've got just about a minute left, Cassie. Will you explain for somebody who's just hearing about faith-based investing for the first time, how do you describe what that is and how it differs from traditional investments?
Well, we look at two sides of that. We look at certain business practices that we don't want to invest in and benefit from. I always say it's like praying with your dollars. You're saying, God, take my money and let this company grow and flourish so we can share in the profits together. So we say, let's not invest in things that are harmful, like abortion and pornography and addictions. Instead, let's invest in things that help people to grow and flourish. And so there are really two sides of that. But we can really be excited about the kinds of things that we're investing in. Great services and products, good employers, active in their communities. I think it's a really exciting way to invest.
That's great. And Cassie, how can folks learn more?
Well, if you'd like to find the book, I Found Jesus in the Stock Market, that's on Amazon. And then you can also visit our website at lightpointportfolios.com.
This has been helpful and informative, Cassie. Thanks for stopping by.
Thanks so much, Rob. It's been great to be with you.
Cassie Lehman has been our guest today. She's president of Lightpoint Portfolios. That website again is lightpointportfolios.com. Your calls are next at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Too busy to catch your favorite shows on the radio? Have no fear, because the AFR app is here. Download the app to have access to live broadcast, music streaming, as well as each podcast. Whether you're at work, at home, or on the go, it's easy to listen to AFR.
The AFR app is available not only for Apple and Android users, but also on Amazon Alexa and Roku.
Download the AFR app today at AFR.net.
Siri, what's the best way to save for college?
I'm not sure.
Well, what does the Bible say about co-signing for a loan or investing for retirement?
I don't know that either, but you can find those answers on the free MoneyWise app.
Really?
Sure. You can connect with the online community and get answers and encouragement from MoneyWise coaches.
That sounds great. Siri, download the MoneyWise app.
Got it. Learn more at MoneyWise.org.
What does the American Family Association stand for? AFA aims to evangelize the lost and disciple the believer. AFA aims to strengthen biblical marriages and equip parents to raise godly children. These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us.
How should we as Christians think about investing? What if we could invest our money in a way that aligns with what we believe? At Eventide, we believe it is possible to love God and love our neighbor in the very practice of investing. We design investments for performance and a better world so you can invest for the future with a sense of wholeness and purpose. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at investeventide.com.
American Family Association President Tim Wildman.
Dad was concerned about the direction America was headed, and he was determined to do something about it. Maybe that describes you today. If it does, I want to strongly encourage you to consider a charitable gift annuity to American Family Association Foundation.
Call the AFA Foundation at 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Christian Healthcare Ministries enables believers to meet their healthcare costs affordably, biblically, and compassionately. It's not insurance, but a voluntary cost-sharing ministry based on the biblical example of Christians sharing each other's needs. And members aren't fined under the law for not having health insurance. Christian Healthcare Ministries might be your health cost solution. Call 800-791-6225 or visit chministries.org.
Thanks for joining us today on MoneyWise at American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host. We're taking your calls and questions today on anything financial. Let's talk God's money and apply biblical wisdom to your financial decisions and choices. We've got a few lines open. We'd love to hear from you today. Our team is standing by. We'll get you on the air quickly. You can share your name or be on anonymously, whatever you would prefer. Taking your questions from coast to coast, 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Again, 800-525-7000. Coming up on the broadcast today, of course, your questions. We'll also tackle a few of your emails today as well. And I'll weigh in on another topic in the category of family finances. We'll talk about money conflicts in marriage. How do you deal with money conflicts? Well, studies say 70% of married couples will have conflict in marriage around this area of money. If we have different money personalities, maybe we were raised differently with regard to our money habits, money was handled differently at home, that all shapes and forms us into who we are today. And most often, we don't share the same money personality with our spouse, and therefore we can have conflict. Well, if we start with our values and we look at where God is taking us as a married couple and the goal being oneness, we can actually move forward with our goals and our spending plan, and all of that can become an instrument of peace if we're moving toward what God has for us. Let's talk about some practical things you can do to avoid those money conflicts in marriage today. And again, your phone calls, 800-525-7000. We're going to begin today in Arkansas. Lorraine, thank you for calling. You go right ahead.
Hi. Well, I have a small medical business that I started in June, and I've been trying to do everything like through the bank account and not get into too much debt. But unfortunately, my debit card was somebody got a hold of the number. And so now I'm looking into just getting maybe a credit card for the business and putting everything on that instead of using the debit card. And I kind of looked at like on the internet to see, you know, biblically, you know, good companies for that. And I didn't really find a lot. So my question is do you have a recommendation?
Yeah, you know, I love the fact that more and more now we can do business with people and companies that align with our values, at least how they're using their corporate profits. There's more visibility than ever into that. That's becoming really exciting in the area of investing as we can choose investment selections that align with our values and convictions as believers, whether that's avoiding companies or embracing other companies that are promoting human flourishing or even having a kingdom impact. And that's really exciting. There's also the opportunity for corporate engagement, where as owners of companies, we can express our values to company leadership through shareholder meetings and proxies and affect change by just showing up and letting these folks know what our values are and where these companies are moving away from what their primary business activity is and getting into a political realm. Well, let them know that we're not happy about that. So that's great. It's a little more challenging, Lorraine, in the area of credit cards. They're really are, although you might have a few credit unions that would offer credit cards like ECCU or the Christian Credit Union, you know, those would be options. But in terms of the major companies, you are, you know, going to have a difficult time finding a company that would particularly align with your values. And so if you chose a business credit card simply based on the fees and, you know, the interest rate, although I'd love for you to pay that off every month, just like you would with a personal credit card. So that really isn't a factor, but the fees obviously are going to be big. I would just do a search at either bankrate.com, creditcards.com, or nerdwallet.com. Any of those would have a great rating service specifically for the merits of the various business credit cards that are out there so that you could choose the one that you want. When you find the company, though, that has the best options, you could go to something like inspireinsight.com. That's inspireinsight.com. You could type in the name of the particular company or bank that is issuing that card, and you'll essentially get a rating or a scoring using the factors that are in the public domain to give visibility into whether or not there would be any activity with that particular company that might be misaligned with your values. And if you saw something you didn't like, then you could pass on that one and go to the next one. Is that helpful?
It is helpful. Thank you so much. I will check that out. I appreciate your time.
Happy to do it, Lorraine. Thank you for listening and calling today. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We'd love to hear from you today with lines open. Again, 800-525-7000. Let's head to Kansas. Tim, thank you for calling. Go right ahead.
Oh, thanks for taking my call, Rob. My church is finally taking a serious look into electronic giving, but we're concerned with the actions of some financial institutions against other organizations with, you know, traditional values. Do you have any suggestions that would align with, you know, Christian values that would also be, you know, kind of affordable for a smaller church like ours is?
Yeah, and specifically in this area of electronic giving, is that right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, there are several that I like a lot. One that I'm very familiar with and can recommend highly is called Secure Give. I would check that one out. Two others that you could look at just to compare. One is called Tithely. So that's tithe.ly is the website, Tithely. And then PushPay would be a third. So I'd start with Secure Give, but then Tithely and PushPay would be two alternatives. There's a lot of them out there. You could certainly Google them and read all kinds of reviews, but those would be three that I would start with.
Okay. That is a huge help. Thank you.
You are very welcome, and I'm excited you all are moving into this area. I think it'll make you'll be surprised at how many people, when presented with this option, will choose an electronic solution for their giving once you make that available. I think you guys will be glad that you did it. So check those out. Let us know what you find. We'd love to hear your report on the other side of this, Tim. Thanks for calling today. Well, we're going to take a quick break, folks. When we come back, the lines are stacking up with some great questions. This is where we apply God's wisdom to your financial decisions and choices, realizing as our role as stewards is to be found faithful. So we want to hold God's money loosely. We want to seek His heart with how we manage it. We want to give generously as well. We'll talk more about that on the other side of this break. Stick around.
You probably have a strategy for your finances, your career, even your retirement. But do you have a strategy for your giving? At the National Christian Foundation, we can help you create a giving strategy to inspire your family, maximize your resources, and leave a lasting legacy of faith. To learn how, visit moneywise.org/NCF.
Bishop E.W. Jackson is on a mission.
Some people are just embarrassed to be Americans. That's a big problem. I mean, I've heard people say that. They're embarrassed to be Americans. I'm not embarrassed to be American. I love my country. I'm thankful to God that I'm an American. I'm thankful to God to live in this land of freedom and opportunity and hope. And I'm fighting to make sure that that never changes.
The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson, every weekday at noon Central on AFR, or catch the podcast at AFR.net.
Investing is more than just returns. It's an expression of who you are and what you value. Does the way you invest your money reflect your identity as a Christian? At Eventide, we design investments for performance and a better world, so you can invest with the confidence to reach your financial goals while remaining true to your Christian values and commitments. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More is available at investeventide.com. That's investeventide.com.
Sometimes you just need a little guidance to help point you in the right direction.
In 300 feet, turn right.
If you're feeling lost when it comes to your finances, we're here to help. You can connect with a trained MoneyWise coach absolutely free. A MoneyWise coach can help you build a personal budget, develop a plan to knock out your debt, and more. Visit MoneyWise.org/connect. That's MoneyWise.org/connect.
So Hannah, she's just one of the women who did struggle with infertility in the Bible.
Hannah's Heart with Ann Cockrell and Kendra White.
Hannah took her pain to God, and God heard her and was with her.
Hannah's Heart helps couples process infertility and miscarriage through a biblical lens. Join us Saturday afternoon at 5 Central on American Family Radio. Find the podcast at afr.net.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the MoneyWise program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, taking your calls and questions today, 800-525-7000. Let's head right back to the phones. Sandra's in Mississippi. Sandra, you go right ahead.
Yes, sir. Good morning, Mr. West.
Hi there.
Thank you for Thank you for offering good, sound financial advice. I so appreciate hearing you every day.
Thank you.
I know that you have given this information out before, but I've missed it, so now I'm ready to write it down. your online banking interest that you have mentioned before, the particular banks that offers good interest rates, you think, or CDs, do you remember those that you've
mentioned? Yeah. So for online banking, if we're just looking purely at low cost, meaning no fees, and the highest interest rates, you are going to want to look to an online solution. I like Ally Bank, Marcus, that's M-A-R-C-U-S, that's the retail of Goldman Sachs, and then Capital One 360. They pay better interest rates than brick-and-mortar institutions. You'll find great customer service. If you want a Christian solution, I'd recommend Christian Community Credit Union as an alternative there. We like those folks a lot, and we're going to be actually doing more together in the future. But I think any one of those would be great options.
And you don't worry about doing online things with your money, your banking and things, right?
You know, I really don't, Sandra, as long as you're using best practices. I mean, there's always a risk when we transact business online, whether that's, you know, a company being compromised that's storing your sensitive information, or somebody compromising the internet transmission of your information. That's usually going to be prevented if we're, you know, doing things like not transacting business on public Wi-Fi, making sure we're using an encrypted connection with possible, having a strong password that changes regularly, not clicking on links in emails and providing information or sharing information over the phone with anyone where we don't initiate the contact directly. So we've just got to make sure you're using best practices like that. But as long as you are, then I'm certainly comfortable with you doing business online. The other thing I would do, though, just to avoid, you know, something happening, is make sure you're regularly checking your credit report at annualcreditreport.com for erroneous, inaccurate information, or for accounts that you didn't open that would signal that your identity has been compromised. And then you could lock it and obviously report that to the appropriate authorities. But apart from you having your identity stolen or something like that, I'm comfortable, Sandra, with you doing business online. We're certainly seeing more and more people doing that all the time. Last thing I'll mention is make sure you keep your operating systems updated, whether that's your PC or, you know, your Mac or a mobile device or tablet, just because a lot of times these new operating systems are also introducing the latest security patches just to plug any holes that might allow somebody to get access to your information.
Okay, good information. Thank you.
Okay.
And also, do you have any opinion on CarShield, the warranty that they offer on, we've got an older car, it's 185,000 miles, Toyota, 2007, and it's doing great, but we just don't really feel like we need to be buying anything now. And what do you think about this CarShield?
Yeah. Well, I would say, I mean, you can do check the reviews online for CarShield. You'll see some good ones. You'll see a lot of really bad ones where they get 1 out of 5 star ratings just for poor service. And so that would give me some pause. I would just say generally for auto warranties, we're not big fans of them. Studies show that most folks who buy them don't really get their money's worth. They're expensive. They can be restrictive about what they cover. And Consumer Reports did a survey that showed only 45% of those that responded said they use the warranty, and get this, only 25% said they'd buy one again. And I think that says a lot. So for me, I would just make sure you're regularly funding your car maintenance fund. And then you get to hold on to that cash. If you don't need it, then it's there. But if you do, you're ready to pay for whatever comes up without having to go on a credit card or something like that.
Good. Okay. Thank you. That's all I needed.
All righty, Sandra. You're welcome. Thank you for listening and calling today. We appreciate it. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We've got some lines open today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. Back to the phones. Colorado is where we head next. Jackie, I'm sure it's beautiful this time of year out there. How can I help you?
Oh, thanks for the blessing of your time today. I had a question about a 401k. My husband is going to be 72 in June, and he's still working, and we have been funding it every year, and I don't know if we should have even done it last year, but I'm wondering if we can still, continue to put into the 401k. It's a traditional that he puts it into, and he can't have a Roth because he makes too much money, so... we can't get an individual Roth outside of that one. So anyway, that's my explanation. So
yes, ma'am.
How does that work?
Yeah, there is no age limit to fund a 401k. So you can continue to fund well beyond age 70. You would have to have earned income, and you would do it through a salary deferral. But you can still put in the maximum amount every year in a traditional 401k as long as he's working.
Okay, and do we still want to be doing that to the max? We have quite a bit of money, or should we keep it as, we already have like $300,000 just in cash, and then we have a lot more in retirement, but should we just keep funding?
Well, I think it probably begs. Yeah, it's a great question, Jackie. And I think it really warrants some planning with an advisor just to sit down and answer this question. How much is enough? I like the idea of setting a financial finish line, both for your lifestyle in terms of how much you spend on a monthly basis and your accumulation, your balance sheet, because it's not just about accumulating more and more. It really is about saying how much is enough. And then I think drawing a line in the sand, and no one can tell you what that number is. I think you want to give a thoughtful approach to that, both in terms of what you all might need for the rest of your lives, including if you need long-term care, which can be expensive. And then saying, okay, Lord, we think this is the finish line. So anything we earn or take in beyond that is available to give away. And we don't wait until he calls us home. We do it right now. I love what the author and one of my mentors, Ron Blue, says. He says, do your giving while you're living so you're knowing where it's going. And I think, that's good advice. So we can enjoy the fruit of seeing God's activity taking place and being invested in that right now, whether that's, giving to MoneyWise or American Family Radio or your church or whatever God places on your heart. So I think it really does come down to a planning exercise to say, what are we trying to accumulate? And maybe what you'll come out of that and realize is, you know what? We already have enough. We've already accumulated all that we're ever going to need. And so that then gives you the freedom to know that you can start accelerating your giving as the Lord leads. Because remember, there's only four things we can do with money. There's the money we live on. Well, you probably have decided how much that is, and you've probably said, here's our finish line there. So that one comes off the table. And then there's the money you owe. Well, once you're debt free, that one comes off the table. So then that just leaves give and grow are the only two things you can do. And once you cap your grow, then the only one left is giving. Does all that make sense?
It does. And with inflation, you know, we want to make sure that we're giving as much, you know, that's left over to the Lord as we can.
Yes. I've got to hit a break. Let's finish talking off the air. We'll be right back on MoneyWise. Stay with us.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. There are plenty of things to hear today. Radio programs, news shows, podcasts. But for all the hearing we do nowadays, how much do we listen? I mean, listen. Did your parents ever tell you that when you were young? You're hearing me, but you aren't listening. Well, there's something even more serious than not listening to our earthly parents, not listening to our Father in heaven. And He has sent us a prophet. Actually, He has sent us the prophet. Listen to what Moses said. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your fellow Israelites. You must listen to him. That prophet is Jesus, the Son of God. Listen to him. Try out Anchor Devotional today in print. Visit getanchor.com.
If you enjoy this radio program, you will love all of the many different resources waiting for you at moneywise.org. You'll find more powerful wisdom, podcasts, articles, videos, and more from partners like the National Christian Foundation, Sound Mind Investing, and Christian Healthcare Ministries. Connect with a community of thousands of Christians striving to be faithful stewards, and check out all of the free biblical financial advice at moneywise.org.
Christian Healthcare Ministries enables believers to show love for one another by sharing each other's health costs. Through CHM's voluntary health cost sharing programs, members uplift each other spiritually and financially. CHM is an eligible option under the Affordable Care Act and a Better Business Bureau accredited charity. Interested? Learn more by calling 800-791-6225 or online at chministries.org.
Thanks for joining us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I so appreciate the American Family Radio listeners. Everyone is so encouraging. I love the calls, the folks just appreciating the program, the notes we get, the emails. It really is an incredible blessing, and what a joy to be able to come alongside you each morning as we apply God's wisdom to your financial decisions and choices. Hey, we've got some lines open today. What's on your mind, financially speaking? We'd love to tackle it. The number to call is 800-525-7000. We'd love to hear from you. You know, I mentioned that we were going to talk about money and marriage. You know, this is an area where so often we can see a source of conflict. Well, God's design is anything but that. God's design for marriage is oneness. And when we press into that, we can experience God's best. But there's no question that money can be a source of conflict. And that comes down to, well, maybe he's a saver and she's a spender. She loves yard sales. He likes buying new. He wants to borrow to buy a car now. She wants to wait and pay cash. Or maybe she thinks the kids deserve a big Christmas and he wants to cut back this year. You know, if you're married, I'm sure you've experienced one or more of these. And as we've said often, our attitudes and actions related to money are an indication of what's in our hearts. Matthew 6:21 says it plainly. Jesus writes and says, "Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Another way to say that is your heart follows your money. So if you and your spouse are fighting about your treasure, your hearts could be in danger as well. But remember why God brought you together. Christian marriage is a testimony to the world of the love of Christ for his church. It's also an opportunity for spiritual growth. Proverbs 27:17 puts it this way, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. Being sharpened by your spouse in the area of finances, well, that can be uncomfortable, but communication makes all the difference. My friend Shanti Feldhahn, in her book, Love and Money, she says that to overcome this area of conflict in marriage, she says, number one, communication. Number two, having margin. Not how much you earn, but how much you have left over at the end of the month is really the key driver in overcoming that. So we want to be able to talk about money, and here are a few clues. Perhaps it's time for a heart-to-heart talk about this topic. If different expectations about money are causing fear, anger, frustration, or suspicion even between you, if your finances seem chaotic and you aren't sure why, if you usually avoid talking about the topic, or you're keeping your finances separate. You know, when you talk to your spouse about money, consider these things. Number one, plan ahead so you're rested and your time together is uninterrupted. Pray and invite the Lord to be present. Ask God to bring unity to your marriage and even invite him into your financial life. He wants to be there. Listen to each other without judgment. Express your concerns calmly and passionately. 1 Peter 4:8 offers a helpful reminder. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Create a spending plan that considers both of you, and that's where the MoneyWise app can be a great start. By the way, if you were a former Envelopes user, which is now shutting down and sunsetting, we'd love to invite you to test out and take a trial in the MoneyWise app and see if it's a great replacement for you. We have tons and tons of folks coming this way that were former Envelope users that are loving the MoneyWise app, and it really is designed to be able to use with your spouse. You can learn more by heading to our website, moneywise.org, and clicking app. Lastly, I would say if you've been keeping your finances separate, we really recommend that you bring them together. Again, God's design in marriage is oneness. That includes our finances, so we need to merge our finances. Now, you may realize you need outside help, and that's okay. If we can answer some of your questions, reach out to us at moneywise.org. You could find a counselor, maybe at your local church. Whatever you do, take action. Your marriage is worth it. And let me close with a passage on love that's so familiar from 1 Corinthians. It's the ultimate answer to financial conflict in marriage. Listen to this. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered, and it keeps no record of wrongs. I hope that's an encouragement to you today as you pursue God's best for your marriage, especially in this area of money. All right, back to the phones we go. Let's head to Michigan. Carol, thanks for calling. Go right ahead.
Hi, good morning. Thank you so much. I love your show. I've gotten so much good info.
Thank you.
My husband and I both purchased an I-bond about 3 months ago, and last week I heard the tail end of a conversation. I believe you said that you can purchase up to $10,000, one each calendar year. Is that correct?
Yes, it's $10,000 in electronic I-bonds per person per calendar year. So you would be able to, if you're married, you'd be able to put in $10,000 apiece this year. And then come January the 1st, you could do it all over again.
Okay, great. And then is there like a time limit? Can you keep those for years and years, or is there
Yeah, they're
30-year
bonds, so they're 30 years. Now you only have to keep it in there for 12 months, and that's a requirement. But anytime after 12 months, you could pull it out. If you pull it out beyond 12 months but less than 5 years, you're going to pay a penalty of 3 months' worth of interest. But that's not a big deal given the amount of interest that it's paying. But yeah, if you do nothing, it will continue to accrue and pay semi-annually for 30 years.
Okay. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
All right, Carol. Thanks for calling. We appreciate it and appreciate your kind remarks as well. To Dallas, Mary, you're next on the program. How can I help?
I believe you just answered it with the last person that called.
Okay.
I was wanting to know if the I-bonds are a good investment.
They're unlike anything else that's available right now, Mary. We've talked a lot about them just because it's really the best thing going. Right now, paying 9.62%, but that's only until the end of October. That will expire. It will change in November based on CPI. We don't know what that new rate will be, but we do know that, estimates are it'll probably be in the sixes, probably somewhere around 6%. But here's the thing. If you were to go ahead and open your account at treasurydirect.gov, and purchase your electronic bonds, you would get the current rate for 6 months, which is 9.62%, and then it would adjust to the new rate, and we'll find that out in November. The reason I like them so much, Mary, right now is because they're backed by the U.S. government, so there's really ultimate safety there, and you're just not going to find that interest rate anywhere else. It's far better than anything you could ever imagine. Just keep in mind, you got to leave the money there for 12 months. The only other kind of hiccup, if you will, in the whole thing is just they are overwhelmed at the Treasury right now with people setting up accounts and purchasing I-bonds because of what's going on right now. So the customer service is anything but desirable. Whether you try to connect with them online or over the phone, it's just not going to be a good experience. So hopefully you can either do it yourself, because you can only set it up electronically at treasurydirect.gov. Maybe have somebody help you if you have questions. I went through it for myself and my mom and a few others without ever having to talk to anybody. It kind of went through just fine, and hopefully that'll be your case. If you do have to talk to somebody, it's not going to be easy to do, but it's a great investment. Is that helpful?
Yeah, very much so. Thank you very much.
Okay, Mary, we appreciate your call today. God bless you. You know, folks, as we think about handling God's money, as I said earlier, there's really only four things we can do with money. There's the money we live on. That's our lifestyle. We want to live within our means, right? It sounds easy. It's harder to do, but it's the key to every financial success. And I believe it's a part of God's plan, right? Contentment is one of God's big ideas in, as it relates to money, and it directly applies to our lifestyle, which means I want to live within God's provision, even though the world will allow me to live beyond God's provision through debt and credit. We don't want to do that. So we want to live within God's provision with contentment. And that means we're going to have a spending plan. So there's the money we live on. Then there's the money we give. So live, give, and that's the second one. Now, we clearly see in Scripture that we should be givers. We should hold what God entrusts to us loosely. It's all His, not 10% is His and 90% is ours. It's all His. Even the power to make wealth comes from God, it says in His Word. And so if it's all His, then we want to find His heart with regard to how we should participate in His activity through our giving. He's the ultimate giver. We were created in His image. So we should be joining Him in our giving with a portion of what He's entrusted to us. I like to say we don't want to be a reservoir where God's provision stops with us. We want to be a pipeline where it flows through us back into God's activity. So the question is, what does that look like for you, both with your systematic and proportionate giving based on your increase? That's most like the tithe that we see clearly in the Old Testament, which, by the way, there was three of those that the Israelites had to pay. There was 23 1/3% that they would pay annually. And then beyond that, the sacrificial giving that we do that was celebrated by Jesus with the widow's mite. And when He said, to whom much is given, much is required. So there's the giving beyond the systematic giving as the Lord leads. So live, give, and then there's the money we owe. We absolutely need to be paying our obligations. We need to minimize debt. Over time, we should be seeking to get out of debt, and we should try to only use debt for things that are appreciating. That means no credit card debt for lifestyle spending. Try to stay away from even debt with cars as well. But that's really key. And then the last one is grow. And the answer there is to determine how much is enough. What is our financial finish line? How much are we trying to accumulate? And for what purposes? And then how should we put that money to work? And in what investments? Because as we deploy capital, we're actually invested in real companies. And so if we have a conviction that we want those companies to be aligned with our values as believers, well, then what investments are we choosing? We need to take a hard look at that. So when we live, give, owe, and grow, we can go back to God's word and see what he has for us in each of these areas and then follow accordingly. I hope that's an encouragement to you today. Hey, thanks for being along with us. We covered a lot of ground today, some great calls. Always love being alongside the AFR listeners. Come back and join us tomorrow. We'll do it all over again, Lord willing. Let me say thank you to my team today, Jim Henry, Adam Suddeth, Pat Montague, and also grateful for Devin Patrick, our producer and engineer today. I trust you'll have a wonderful rest of your day, and we'll see you tomorrow. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.